My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here's the set. Base is loaded. 0-1. Bethancourt hits it on the ground. Sharply past Kiner Falefa. And the Cubs will take the lead. 7-run lead gone as Bethancourt has driven in 7 runs today for the Cubs. They bypass Crow Armstrong to get to Bethancourt, and he makes the Pirates pay. 11-10 Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. It's about as frustrated as I've been. I mean, we have got to execute. You cannot have a 10-3 game in the 7th inning and give up 11 runs. It's just, we got to be better.
It's not all about execution. The manager needs to take some responsibility as well. If I heard that quote after the game and I was one of the guys, I'd be a little ticked off. They know they didn't execute. You got to take some of the responsibility as the manager. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. We love those guys. Your hometown home and business security company. And we'd like to hear from you because we love you too at 412-928-9370, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. This stat will tell the entire story. Teams were 1,192-0. That's 1,192-0 in the last 7 years. 7 years! When they were up at least 7 to start the 7th inning. And the Pirates lost yesterday. Doran, you said you turned the game off by accident, and you just figured I'm just not going to watch the end. I left my house to go to the bank when it was a 10-3 ball game. Came back, it was 11-10. It was right after that ball got past Kiner Falefa. By the way, I think O'Neill Cruz actually makes that play with his length and athleticism. What do you do with these Pirates, man? I don't know how you can watch this club right now, realize they have to go 14-15 the rest of the way just to get them to last year's record. See them give up 41 runs in a 3-game series to a team in Chicago that's not that good, and not come away thinking massive changes need to be made. Massive changes. I'm talking everybody's job should be on the line, man.
That's exactly where I'm at. And you hate to say it. You hate to say it, but I mean, this is that loss yesterday, and before that, I accidentally turned the game off. They started, the Cubs started scoring runs, and our guy Neil Walker was like, I'm just going to say it, this game has been bad. Like, it's been ugly. He's something of that nature. He was like, this is just a sloppy game. So he's like, the Pirates need to hold on and stay engaged because they started, you could feel the momentum shifting. Then I look at the score at the end of the game, and I'm like, they ended up losing that game. That is fireable all across the board. All across the board.
Would it have been shocking and or unacceptable if they go to Cleveland without Derek Shelton. Like, if a press release would have come out yesterday after the game saying the Pirates had parted ways with Shelton, would that have surprised you or upset you in any way?
No.
Me neither.
No. No, no, no. How? My thing is, it's like, okay, we want to live in the moment, and we know how this season has gone. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, and now we're down at the bottom of the pit. How, in your right mind, if you are a decision maker for the Pittsburgh Pirates, do you think that this regime can do it next year? How could you look at yourself in the mirror and say that? This is where it's at now. You saw where it possibly could get. You saw the highs of the highs this year, and you had a manufacturer, basically manufacture that because of the Paul Skeens being brought up, and you're relying on a 21-year-old at the time, he turned 22, I think, like a couple weeks in, to revitalize your Major League Baseball team. I know the guy's a star. I know that he's a unicorn. I know he's a once-in-a-decade type player. Good for him. We're happy that we have him. We're lucky that we could watch that, watch him pitch. But they literally were relying on him to be a part and to take them to another level. That's insane. That's actually insane if you really think about it, because you don't have the quality Major League players on your roster outside of him to manufacture those wins. You had to use him, and that was the only thing that you had. And obviously, he was going to carry you only so far.
And he's been Cy Young quality this year.
Yes.
And they didn't know he'd be that good this fast.
Correct.
I mean, I think they could have thought maybe he'll do what Gerrit Cole did, maybe better than that. But I don't think they thought he could potentially be a Cy Young guy. And then you have Jared Jones, Mitch Keller, Paul Skeens all pitch in this series, and your team gives up 41 total runs. Your closer has an ERA of 6.32, and at no point, apart from when he was on the IL, has he been moved from the closer role. The manager, no offense, but take offense, has had his head up his backside on that one. And you can't not blame the manager, no matter how bad the roster is, when you go on prolonged losing streaks, when you do have a starting rotation that has shown itself to be this good, this fast. Like a 10-game losing streak for a team that was nipping at the heels of a playoff spot is unacceptable. Yasmani Grandal hits a walk-off the other day and says, Pittsburgh, believe in us, thinking it could be a turning point just to claw your way back into some sort of relevancy, and they give up 18 runs the next day, 9 the day after that, and 14 the following day.
Insane.
That is a baseball team that is not good enough from a talent perspective, but also a baseball team that is not being motivated enough by that manager. So it's the manager's fault. It's the general manager's fault. I'm sorry. You're in year 5, dude. Year 5. And you pinch hit Rowdy Tellez at some point, who, by the way, isn't good. He turned it around. He's still not good. You pinch hit Rowdy Tellez for Michael A. Taylor, who you tried to cut the other day, but nobody wanted him. Connor Joe took 4 at-bats in this game, Doran, in year 5. Billy McKinney. Why the hell is Billy McKinney on the roster? Jared Triolo takes 5 at-bats. Alika Williams has 4 at-bats in the game. So, you got a bunch of AAA players at the bottom of your lineup. Alika Williams, Jared Triolo, Yasmani Grandal, Billy McKinney, Connor Joe, Michael A. Taylor in year 5?
Crazy. Crazy.
It should not be shocking that they're not a good baseball team. And unfortunately, it kind of is, because they were playing above their roster level when they got to 55 and 52. And I thought that they could do something special with this starting rotation, and the bullpen had come into a good spot right around the trade deadline, and you're thinking, okay, they still don't have a great hitting lineup, but can they pitch their way there? No, because the manager's not good, and they just simply don't have enough talent.
See, like, there's been a few embarrassing moments. I mean, the cell phone falling out of the pocket in the last couple of years, and, you know, there's been embarrassing moments with the Pirates. But I think, to me, the most embarrassing moment that people wanted to make a joke about, that, to me, if I was a decision maker of the Pirates, that it would have been after that day where everybody would have been gone, is like within 3 days, Rowdy Tellez had a pitch.
Couple times.
Twice. Within like a couple days, right?
Yep.
That, like, people are like, oh, Rowdy Tellez is coming to pitch again. Like, do you know how embarrassing that is? Do you know how embarrassing that is? Because you ran out of arms, you don't want to, you know, overdo it, and you're getting mopped across the floor.
You're right about that.
Like,
yesterday, you had fans chanting for Rowdy to come in and
think
pitch.
Think about that.
That's a joke.
Joke.
Pony tweeted this out. I'll give him credit, because I do think this stat makes me want to pull all of my hair out. Over the course of this homestand, last couple games, David Bednar's ERA, 1685. Rowdy Tellez's ERA in two games, 540. Rowdy Tellez outpitched David Bednar. Rowdy Tellez throwing 42-mile-an-hour meatballs up there, getting gift strike calls from the umpire.
Because they want to get out of there.
Because they want to get out of there.
Think about it.
And, man, it's going to happen every now and again where you're going to need to go to a position player twice in a couple of games. It's not funny. It's it's depressing, but it should be angering just how far this team has fallen from the trade deadline. And, man, it's hard to polish this into being able to get excited about next year. And at worst, I would have thought at the deadline, hey, if it doesn't happen for them this year, next year should be really promising. I can't believe that. How can anybody believe that? And I want to get into that in depth coming up in the next segment. This has to be rock bottom. And you have to get rid of the manager, and you do have to get rid of the general manager. I think both dudes are nice guys. They are well-liked. I think Derek Shelton, the way that he interacts with some in the media, is actually a breath of fresh air. But what's the old saying? Nice guys finish last. What's this team do? Always, in perpetuity, man, they finish last. And this year, at bare minimum, needed to be a year where you improved upon the last season. Win more games than you did last year. The bare minimum. They're not going to do that. They have to go 14 and 15 the rest of the way to do that. They're not going to do that. And if they do, they what? They match last season's total? This isn't a good division. We've talked about that. The Cubs are 68 and 66. Okay. They're an average team. Cardinals, average team. Cincinnati Reds, below average team. Milwaukee's good. Okay. Every other team in the division is mid. And you're going to play those teams more than you're going to play anybody else. And here you are in last place. In last place in what was supposed to be a big step forward year. It's disgraceful. It cannot be accepted. And if you bring back everybody next year, why, like you said, would you believe anything's going to change? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's been a very depressing morning so far. We will get more excitable as the show moves on. We will wake you up positively as the show moves on. But we're talking about dying young because our diets are bad, and we're talking about the Pirates, who are in last place in the National League Central in a season that looked like it had so much promise. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Hey, personal injury law firm, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And now Livy Dunn's fed up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mostly football on today's show, as it should be, on August 29th, the day after Mike Tomlin officially named Russell Wilson the starting quarterback for this team. Isaac Seumalo injures his pec. That's no good. Cam Hayward says no progress has been made on a contract. Plus, Pitt kicks off its season coming up in 2 days. Other local teams, Penn State, West Virginia, same deal. So a lot of football talk coming your way. We'll spend one more segment on the hapless sad sack Buccos. How can anybody now have faith that next year is going to be the year? Like, I thought at worst at the deadline. At worst, you got Skeens, you got Jones, you got Keller, you got Falter, you got Ortiz, you got Bubba Chandler. I thought at worst, next year, they could be very good. But now I think O'Neal Cruz looked okay in center field yesterday.
Yep.
Didn't do anything bad. He was charged with an error. Shouldn't have been him. We can all agree on that.
I thought
it
was a good throw.
It's a great throw. And Grandal can't. That's been. How many times this year has there been a play at the plate?
Like 5-6 times.
Yeah. He can't catch the ball. Nope. Which it's in the title of his position, of his occupation. Catcher. Catch the thing. Receiver. Supposed to receive that thing. You can't receive. You shouldn't be playing. You can't catch. What the hell are we doing there? Pitcher. You can't pitch. I mean, what are we doing? It's not his fault. But you got 29 games left to figure out if he could be your center fielder of the future, and they are committed to putting him out there. Maybe Joey Bart gets to play first base if and when he comes back from injury. Those are experimental things. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Well, he's a good utility man and won a gold glove at third. I've kind of been underwhelmed by what he's done at shortstop. It's probably his worst defensive position. Doesn't have a great arm, and he's going to make routine plays. He's got some range, but at shortstop, you need a lot of range. Is Nick Gonzalez the solution at second? You look at his OPS, it's under 700, and he's been a clutch guy for them this year when he's been healthy. The outfield still leaves questions. Ellie De La Cruz is not his name. Brian De La Cruz, however, can't field, and he did hit his first homer, and he has been hitting doubles, but, like, come on, is he a sure thing? How can we go into next year and with a straight face say, oh, it's going to be the year, especially if you were to leave the brain trust in their current positions?
Right, if the manager is the same, which it probably will be.
You think so?
I mean, I guess Nutting has put his foot down at some points over the years.
It would be weird if he didn't fire him, I think.
Really? Is that where you're at?
That is where I'm at because of that whole Sheets press conference thing where he said that the goal is 100% to make the playoffs. And not only are you not going to make the playoffs, you're more than likely than not going to finish in last place. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's good. That's interesting. I was trying to feel the temperature on this situation legitimately. Like, I know that fans and everybody's upset right now, but legitimately, like, I was wondering what the thought process from Nutting is, even with Charrington. Like, I really don't know. So, like, I was actually interested to hear that's where you're at. Like, it'd be weird for them not to do it.
I would think that you have to. Our good friend Charlie Borges tweeted out the other day, this is an unbelievable stat, yet believable all at the same time. There have been 272 managers in Major League Baseball history to manage five seasons or more. Only four have more games managed and a lower winning percentage than Darius Shelton. Of the four, only one did not manage more than one team. And the one is Billy Meier, who managed the Pirates from 48 to 52.
Wow.
Look, not all of that's on Darius Shelton, but this rotation, at the very least, is good enough not to have a 10-game losing streak and finish in last place. You can't have a Cy Young caliber pitcher and Paul Skeens going for you every fifth or sixth day. Mitch Keller, what we know about him, Jared Jones, Luis Ortiz, Bailey Falter have all pitched well this year and fallen to the doldrums that they've fallen into.
Right.
Like, this is clearly the best roster, even though we've talked about how terribly flawed it is. And have the results be the same as they were last season, where down the stretch last year, they went 32-30, and they basically had two legitimate starting pitchers. Like, if they went 32-30 after starting 55-52, we're talking about a potential playoff team.
Yep.
And you can't do that this year. You can't bring him back. You can't bring him back, especially if you are known as the owner that doesn't spend the money. You've got to do something, and that something is you have to change the top in Charrington, and you have to change the next guy in Darius Shelton. You have to. And I do think at this point I would be surprised if at least Shelton is not gone.
In your perfect world and in our perfect world, how would you change this? How would you alter this team from top to bottom? What would you do? Like, going into this offseason, what, they have 30 games left? Something like
29, 30, 29. I think,
yeah. Whenever the offseason does hit, what moves would you make? Like, not, you don't have to say players' names, but what positions would you upgrade and say that I'm giving you $20 million.
Oh.
What was their budget last year?
They spent about 35.
Okay, so I'm giving you 35. Sorry.
I'll take your 35. Thank you very much, Mr. Doran Nutting. I'm getting a first baseman.
Okay.
Joey Bart's going to be my starting catcher. I'm trying to trade Henry Davis. Pennies on the dollar. Whatever. It's going to be Joey Bart and Andy Rodriguez. I would probably look for an upgrade at designated hitter, but if Andrew McCutchen wants to come back, there are worse ways to fill that position. If you look at him compared to other designated hitters, he did fairly well this year. So, all right, let's just say, because you're trying to fit as much in as you can with the budget, I'll probably get Kutch for $5 million. He's my DH, with an understanding that there are going to be times that Joey Bart's going to DH or Andy Rodriguez is going to DH. I'm spending big money, though, on a first baseman, and I am probably looking to spend significant money for at least a platoon option with Brian De La Cruz in right field.
Okay.
I'm probably bringing Aroldis Chapman back.
Okay.
I'm going to try to hold on to David Bednar over the offseason, hope he bounces back, and if he's great, great. You can maybe flip him at the deadline next year, but those are some of the things I'm looking at.
What would you try to do with Cabrian Hayes, or would you just have to eat it?
I don't know that they can trade him, but I would absolutely be looking to do
looking into that.
Absolutely.
Would you fire Shelton?
Yes.
Would you hire Don Kelly?
No.
Would you fire Charrington?
Yes. I'm going outside the organization on both of those positions.
Okay.
Like, I understand why they hired Charrington. He had won a World Series. I get that. I understand it. I understand why they hired Darius Shelton. But now I have to get a guy that has done it before.
Yeah.
Like, Tito Francona obviously would be the first choice for a lot of people if he wants to manage. I don't know that he does. If he does, that's the first call you make. But I want a guy that's done it before. Like, I don't want somebody that is learning on the job, because that's what Darius Shelton's had to do. And when you're losing for so long, like, I think Darius Shelton hasn't done a great job this year. Part of that is his first ever chance to be a manager in the big leagues. More often than not, he's been given a bag of crap. And so you're not managing like your job's on the line every single time your team takes the field. And I think that showed this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care what the circumstance is. That statistic for Borges is telling, and the way that this team has collapsed again this year is telling. They collapsed last year after a 20-8 start. This year they collapsed after being right in that thing at the trade deadline. So, yeah, I'm getting rid of him. I'm getting rid of Charrington. I'm turning the whole thing over.
You're turning everything over.
Because consider what you have. I think O'Neal Cruz has turned the corner towards superstardom at the plate.
Yes.
With what he's done the last couple of months. He's hitting lefties now. I didn't know he'd ever hit lefties. Now that he is, that guy could be a tremendous baseball player for a while. But maybe not here for a while. So you need to make good on him. You need to make good on Skeens. You need to make good on Keller. You need to make good on Jones. You need to make good on Bubba Chandler. And so I can't guess that my general manager is going to turn it around. I got to make that move. So I would do all of those things.
Okay.
Long-winded. Did I answer the question?
Yes, you did. It was great.
It's like word vomit of frustration. Shall we move on to better things?
Please.
Football. Mike Tomlin named a starter yesterday. We were not surprised. Do you think Dan Orlovsky peed himself? He was bamboozled, Doran.
Yes, Dan.
Mike Tomlin will let you hear why he named Russell Wilson the starting quarterback, and we'll break it down for you when we come back.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct. Both guys have been really professional. I've been really excited about getting to know them and their games and having the ability to analyze what both are capable of bringing. Obviously, Russ's injury created some challenges in terms of that process, in terms of exposure to him. But in the same token, it created more opportunities and avenues to get to know Justin and for Justin to show what he's capable of.
Mike Tomlin talking about his quarterback decision. It is going to be Russell Wilson. We've known that for a long time, but it's like you took that document to the notary yesterday, Doran. Bang! Notarized! So it's going to be Russ. Tomlin says it was a difficult decision. There's some BS in there, and there's some non-BS in there. When he talks, in my opinion, when he talks about Justin Fields, and I watched the video too, you can tell he loves the guy. He likes the guy, and he has been pleasantly surprised by the way he's played. Tomlin wanted him here because he was in love with him in the draft process, and you knew he was an athlete. Mike Tomlin has said time and time again, he's more athletic in person than he thought that he was watching him on tape. So I do believe Mike Tomlin really, really, really likes, if not loves, Justin Fields. That being said, I am not buying for a second that this was a difficult decision, because the second Russ Wilson was ready to go from this calf injury, he was instituted as quarterback one. He played fewer snaps in the final two preseason games than Justin Fields did, because you're protecting your starting quarterback. He has been taking all the one reps in practice, according to everybody that we trust on all this. So Justin Fields impressed Mike Tomlin more than Mike Tomlin even thought he would, and yet Russell Wilson is still the starting quarterback, leading me to believe he was always going to be the Steelers' starting quarterback.
Maybe Mike Tomlin's telling us that it was a tough decision because Justin Fields checked all the boxes we were wondering about him. And maybe he's telling us that the evaluation that we got of Justin Fields at first is clearly different, and the things that we needed to know about him, he answered, and that could be our future. Looking into it, that's looking into it very deeply, but I also think that he's saying that it was a tough decision because they're two different quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And what Justin Fields could bring to the table, Russell Wilson can't. He used to maybe at one point in his career, but he can't. It's like if you get into a bind and you have an athlete back there like that, like he can get out of so many situations. If your offensive line is banged up like it is, and we'll get into that, Justin Fields being back there now, you know, don't fully trust him like you trust Russ of throwing the ball in crucial situations, but if he can run and he can get you first downs, that does make it, I guess, a little bit tougher, because whenever you have that quarterback battle, it's like, do I want to go with the young, athletic, energizer bunny, or do I want to go with the methodical, you know, veteran quarterback that I am very used to having because I had Ben Roethlisberger for so long? I don't know. I think that there was some truth to it.
Sure, I think there was some, yeah.
But I think that they had their mind made up. Like, I think it falls right into the category of what we've been talking about the whole time. Like, Russ had to lose the job. Justin Fields is never going to win the job, but Justin Fields won his job, if that makes sense. Justin Fields did the things that they needed him to do individually to show them that he was capable, which he's winning in a sense, but didn't win the actual starting job right now.
I can buy that. I can absolutely buy that. I hadn't even thought about this in a long time, but the first quarterback acquired was Russell Wilson, and so they had him earmarked since then. You had veterans pounding the table for Russ. Now, you had Cam Hayward and the leadership council, if you will, that were lobbying to Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan, go get Russell Wilson. From that point forward, it's decided. From that point forward, it doesn't matter who you bring in here. When your veterans ask the powers that be to make something happen and it is done, you're not going to pull that rug out from under those guys.
Right.
Now, they can be impressed by Justin Fields, and that is the part of this that I think is legit. They are impressed with Justin Fields. They are believers in Justin Fields. But they're going to lean on the resume of Russ Wilson, and he's done a lot of good things in practice, too. And Mike Tomlin was salivating, not just with the local media, but also with Rich Eisen, about the deep ball that Russell Wilson throws. Like, those things matter. The fact that he had confetti rain down on him, that matters. And I think even if both guys played exactly the same, even if Justin Fields played a little bit better, I think the relative tie was always going to go to the confetti man.
Yep.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to believe that it's the right decision, too. I don't sit here and turn the microphones on, and just because the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, Pitt does something, I say, okay, they made the right call. I feel like I'm fair. I feel like I'm calling it like I see it. Just because Russ is named the guy, just because it's annoyed me how much the national media has said this is a quarterback competition, even though we knew it wasn't a quarterback competition, it doesn't change my view on it. I always thought Russ was the right call.
Yeah.
And I think he gives them the best chance to win, particularly early.
Yeah, right
now. Gives them the best chance to win.
Right now.
Yeah.
For what they want to do, what they want to accomplish this year, it's almost the definition of stopgap, in my opinion. While you have your answer, you think you have your answer on the roster. And I think it's a good situation. Let Justin Fields sit back and learn. Give him something to work with. Give him some packages.
Which we will get into, because it sounds like that's happening.
But I think that they got a lot of questions answered throughout the OTA and the training camp period on Justin Fields, on if he could be the next quarterback if they do part ways with Russell Wilson after the season.
To that point, Mike Tomlin said something to Rich Eisen that I didn't pull out and cut to play on the show, so I'll paraphrase this. Tomlin told Eisen, basically, it was nice to have a quarterback competition where it's not the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
It's both guys bring something good to the table, and you're not working on minimizing weaknesses. You're working on, all right, what do these guys' strengths mean we can do as an offense? And we'll pick the guy that we think the strengths fit most in line with what we're looking to do. I thought he threw a ton of shade at the previous quarterback battles. And it actually made me, for the first time, and we probably need more time to talk about this, for the first time it made me think maybe Mike Tomlin did not want Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
The way he talked to Eisen was, and he didn't use any names, but he kind of sounded like he was thinking, Trubisky or Kenny, this is what I got to work with? I don't know if he wanted Kenny to begin with. And I wonder if it was mostly an Art Rooney II decision and a Kevin Colbert decision.
I thought that all along.
Yeah.
I thought that all along. I honestly think, and people are going to laugh, and people are going to say stuff like that, I'm ridiculous. I think they didn't want to get spurned again like they happened in 1983.
Yeah.
I swear. With Marino.
Yep.
I think that was definitely a part of their thought process going into that draft.
And you know what, man? It makes a lot of sense then that they would cut bait with him after 2 years if you believe that hypothesis that you've had. We don't want to miss out on the guy who was next door going and being great. Well, after 2 years, they found out they weren't going to be missing out on anything. And it leads you to cut bait with the guy. It all makes a ton of sense, honestly. I'm going to find that clip. We should revisit that later on in more of an in-depth conversation. Because when I heard Tomlin talking to Eisen about the quarterback competition the years past, it hit me in the face, man. Like pigeon poop or something.
Oh.
Yeah. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. Something going on here in Western PA that has been going on for far too long. We'll talk about that next at the top of the hour. More of Tomlin's comments with Rich Eisen that I thought were eye-opening. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. A lot going on today, but not the usual. Typically, we have Pat Bostic in from 7 o'clock until 9. He's going to jump on with us tomorrow. He's got some stuff going on. So Bostic 7 to 9 tomorrow. Today, Bill Hillgrove, I think, is expected to join us.
Nice.
At 7:50. Billy Hilly. And then at 7:35, Jeff Hathorn, 9 o'clock. Usually on Fridays, we have Chris Carter at 8. He's going to be on with us today at 9. Breaking down the Steelers, of course, the quarterback stuff, and the Pittsburgh Panthers football team. So all that's on the way. Coming up at 7, which is about 8 minutes from right now, more Mike Tomlin with Rich Eisen. And is it gamesmanship from Tomlin talking about Justin Fields, trying to trick Raheem Morris, or is he really going to use Justin Fields in some packages? We'll get to all of that. Right now, though, Doran, you're suffering. I can tell. Allergies this time of the year crushing you. And it's not just the allergies. Now we got that whole lantern fly thing going on again. Mm-hmm. Are they around your domicile at this particular moment?
Of course.
They were around like a week ago, is here and there.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I don't know if it's the heat, the front of my house that is in the sun for most of the day. I went on the front porch yesterday and counted. We had about 45 of those
suckers on the front of my house.
45!
That's a lot.
It's a ton. And I don't like to kill anything. Is this a sadistic thing for me? Or what? I take great joy in murdering these things.
I don't think so. I think everybody likes killing them.
Yeah.
And they're harmless, kind of, right? I mean, it's not like
they give us permission. I think the government says they're bad. They're
what are they bad for?
They're
what
invasive.
They
kill trees. They kill crops. They I don't know if they eat bugs they're not supposed to eat. I don't know. But you see signs all around the north side, all around down by Point State Park, kill these suckers.
Oh.
So give me permission. It's kind of like the Purge.
Yes.
I'm taking them out.
Yep.
We have a Swiffer that we use as the killing device. You remember those Swiffers?
Yeah. What, you don't put like the...
We don't put the pad on it.
Right.
We just have... It's padless, and I just smush them. And then my daughter, who's turning 5 in October, she loves killing these things. I don't know if that's a great thing, to pound into her head early. I tell her, don't kill the other bugs. In fact, there was a spider in our house the other day that she released, which I thought was quite cute. That's like our afternoon pastime now. Let me get my daughter tired so she's ready to sleep. I saw, though, one of the local TV stations, they showed a weather map.
I did see that.
Oh, my God. They're sick. Showing up on the weather map.
That's sick. When do they go away? Whenever, obviously, it gets cold, probably.
I think last year they were all around those suckers till October.
Really?
And I saw Ken Carmen, our partner in crime who does mornings in Cleveland. I guess they're new to Cleveland this year. And he said, what am I supposed to do with these things? Kill them? Oh, you have no idea.
No idea.
But you don't have that many.
No. Just a couple. Mm-hmm.
You kill them?
No. Because there's just a couple.
There's just a couple.
They're not being nuisance. Like, they're like here and there, and like they're not bothering me. So like I don't got on my way to kill them.
Someone texted in, they have no natural predators except us. So I guess what that means is the typical Pittsburgh, Western PA type animals, they don't eat these things.
This is just here in Western PA?
I don't know. But if, I mean, you're telling me a bird or a bat ain't going to eat these things? Like, they look nice and meaty.
Right.
You ever kill them, a bunch of stuff comes out of the inside. Like, it seems like you can feed a birdie family for days, and they're easy to find. Like, we're picking up all the slack here. We need birds to kill these things. Squirrels?
Something.
Rodents? Something kill them. So we don't kill them. You walk down Washington Road, Mount Lebanon, the entire sidewalk is covered in them. And they gross me out.
It's sick.
I do love smushing them, though. And I wonder just how far that goes. Like, for me, like, you give me permission, and I'm gung-ho to do it. What else could you tell me to kill? I don't know. I don't know if I want to pull up that rope.
Probably a lot. Probably a lot of things.
But I'm not a hunter. If you give live birth, I don't want to kill you.
But you're getting joy. I can tell because you're real passionate about it. Yeah, you have joy. So even if you're not a hunter, if you have joy in doing this, you probably have joy in doing something else that you haven't embarked on.
Could be. Maybe I should pick up hunting. Small game. Things of that nature.
Yeah.
Get some formaldehyde.
You probably get hunted.
Put them up in the basement. What was that book? Most Dangerous Game?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was? Where a man's trying to hunt other humans? It's messed up, man. Is that what that's called?
I could just see like you trying to hunt deer and the deer looking at you and just chasing after you and you running.
That's right.
Yeah.
They do this thing. You ever see like a deer in your backyard and it starts pounding its hoof on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go inside every time. You're probably like, bring it on, mother bleeper. All right. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin talked to Rich Eisen. Couple of eye-opening quotes in that interview. He seems so at ease with Eisen. It's kind of lame. Eisen, at the end of every question, says coach. Calls him coach. At the end of every question, and then Tomlin said, oh, you can ask me anything, Rich. Because all Rich does is polish his nards and throw him softballs.
Uh-huh.
But we'll play some of that interaction when we come back. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!